seated.
Hear
beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
To them give protection to all.
To them give protection to all.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Our dear elementals, we do.
Our dear elementals, we do.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Our dear elementals, we do.
Our dear elementals, we do.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Our dear elementals, we do.
Our dear elementals, we do.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Our dear elementals, we do.
Our dear elementals, we do.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
See everybody.
Any questions you want to ask?
Why should we listen to the tape? Should we meditate to the tape or just do our destroy everyday things? Or what's the best procedure?
The tape is more of a endocrine corrector and keep it in balance. So you're building up your environmental field with it. In the early stages of the process, you're realigning your spine, no function, with the sperm and ovum. We have some surprise for you as initiates more than for the general public, is just the tape itself. But we'll be working with it as initiates and a more advanced approaches, because we go to the nexus, the extrasensory, intuitive, feeding the body directly by atomic power, re-emanation, the atoms through sonics. These are techniques involving the music. See, man doesn't live by bread. That is, manifestation doesn't live by indirect forms of energy through the mouth, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Biblical writings say God is word, but when you do narrow it down, it's sonic resonance as consciousness, life. The music is organized word. Word is noise to a geometrical fixation. And when you take all words and they fit music, that's why you eliminate the spoken word that creates miscomprehension, and get back the music, the resonance level that integrates your consciousness. So that's the whole impact of why we're bypassing a lot of ways that to get to the exact cosmic awareness in ourselves, and the waking state referred to as Nibbapapa Samadhi, the actual living and walking with it. Tonight we have a offer, the choice to hear the music, how it actually resonates in your mechanism when the sperm bonded with the ovum, or to listen to the extrasensory frequencies of your body through the music. That's your option of choice. I don't think you can take both at the same time. It's pretty mind-blowing. You see, most people look for enlightenment and don't know what it represents. And we have all type of notions, and when in actuality and death experiences, we hear of them, and the people that describe it all come back and tell us of all types of geometry of tunnels and different things that they've been done, and some being at the end of the tunnel holding out their hands and then sending them back. Most of us never really get to the actual understanding of what the internal experience is all about. Enlightenment is the actual moment when the sperm bonds with the ovum. And it's a personal experience for each one of you. Nobody can relive that experience for another person. Each one has to relive it, and you relive it many, many incarnations in many geometrical shapes, not knowing what you're reliving. Even a death experience and going down the tunnel and getting to the being at the other end of the tunnel. These are the fixated geometries of who you are versus what you are. What you are is the journey of the sperm to the ovum, to the atomic blast, where you see the entire cosmos inside of yourself. But you don't know that until you go down the journey. And those who've had a death experience and are sent back go with the fixation of the geometry. They never broke through to their own liberation. And so the initiate is the only one who gets to the breakthrough, because the initiate is informed what he has to look for, or she has to look for. We're not going down any tunnel
You're not going to meet anybody. These are all the fixated geometry of a sperm traveling out of the father to the mother. The bond is an ovum. The actual experience is that moment, that split second, where the whole thing relives the memory pattern of how it occurred to form you. So some of us hear and read of soul mating. That's where you find out what soul mating is. It's soil mating. There's no soul mating. Man doesn't have soul. Man is soul, but man is living soil. In actuality, not a who or verbalizations. In the actual experience, you are a living soil, 144 elements in conscious awareness. Therefore, Moses was told to take his shoes off because he's sitting on God. Right now, we're all sitting on the creative elements. Out of the creative elements we come, and back to the creative elements we go if we are ignorant. Meaning, if we ignore these laws, if we understand, then we are free. We came from the 144 elements, we bonded together as a sperm ovum process in a carbon-based body. And the experience has to occur on a conscious level in the carbon-based body. You've had the experiences in other bodies, but you were drafted. You volunteered for a carbon-based body. And this carbon-based body requires the experience to be lived on a conscious level. So all the memory banks open up. The moment your consciousness merges, then all the geometry begins to lose their representation. That's why none of the masters stayed too long because the non-geometrical experience, they can only describe it as 4th of July. There's no way to describe this process, and it's a personal thing you have to go through. But remember, rule number one, don't panic. Rule number two, don't panic. And rule number three, don't panic. Because you did it already, and they didn't bury you. You're sitting in this room right now. So you're a witness to your own formation. That's why they call it Jehovah Witness. And a witness doesn't interfere. A witness is a person who sits in a movie house and let Dracula bite the actress on the stage. And not panic, because Dracula cannot get off the stage and bite you. So don't go panic inside the process. But we are trying to give the experience, in a way, via sonics. So this is the option. Which one you want first?
Which did you say we didn't start with first?
I'll let people to choose because, you know, you're volunteering.
Bonding.
Mother bonding?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you want them taping?
Huh?
Do you want them taping with their tape recorder?
No, this is going to knock them out because they can't play it in their house. It'll knock out their whole frequency of their willpower. So don't go tape it. it's not designed for taping. In the process. You get one, Ginger? after the music stopped, it seems that it never was here.
I can still hear it ringing in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
I can still hear it ringing in my ears.
Resonating after is that the fact that the ovum is a larger portion of the head to the sperm and to the spine. So there's a locking process. All these resonances are locked up in here. And then the conception grows up to form the body. Not audible to the normal hearing, this particular whirlwind of songs are going on in your cells all the time. As you get lower into the delta level, that's why they say the test for the realized person is to go down in delta for 15 minutes. And the first 7.5, all the optical geometry is like schizophrenia. There's no. And then the next 7.5 is total blank, but resonance. What you're experiencing is actually the sperm bond with the ovum. Then you have to push past that point into the actual atomic explosion. From then on, they go in and out. We're calling it cosmic awareness, in and out of the body, or in the waking state, or mobile state. That's good. That's the memory banks opening up. See, as you go deep into your meditation, those memory banks will open up more for you to relive the actual bonding internal experience of yourself. You see, the purpose of the whole journey boils down to three things. It fears you out from eating, it fears you out from sleeping, and it fears you out from fixation. So that's what they call ability to materialize and dematerialize at will. These are the three evidential changes in the mechanism when you're in that state. As you arrive in that state, you phase out from sleep, you phase out from eating, and you phase out from the fixations. So it's called, in today's terminology, longevity lifestyle. The word immortal and everlasting and resurrected have a little connotation of not being holy enough. But longevity lifestyle, everybody can make it. So we are involved actually as carbon-based organisms in a longevity lifestyle, going from charcoal to diamond. utilizing the chemical principles of our chemistry as to what we are over who we are. The who and the hues come and go, but the what is always there. And that's the core of your nature. Each one of us has to make his own recovery of the journey and relive the journey. But in the carbon body, we volunteered. In the other bodies of elements, we were drafted. But we don't know that we volunteered for the carbon body until we start going back into the process. Then we discover that we volunteer. That's where the word avatar comes from. Descent into the flesh. There is no one higher than us, because we decided to come into the carbon form as God process. But we were drafted from the other forms, like silicon, sulfur, magnesium, copper, otherwise known as the methane. There you have to come down into the carbon base to experience the transformation. The other forms do not suffer pain. They're drafted, but they don't have to suffer pain. Until you volunteer for the carbon base, you have to surrender all the qualities of the other types. So you don't remember what you are, and you don't realize what you possess. Those are suspended for you to work in the carbon base by trial and error. But you volunteer for it.
Now, if we originated from the planet Jupiter, what was our chemistry there?
Silicon.
Silicon.
See, your silicon body is the highest heat resistant. But then you don't go any higher than silicon as a transparent principle. You start off transparent and you are transparent. And the process of duplication of oneself is like a Xeroxing principle. And everything you say occurs by word of the mouth. But you're drafted without your consent. So that's the compensation, that you will materialize things by the power of the spoken word. Then you take on the sulfur body, or you take on the methane, which is a combination of magnesium, copper. And then these are bodies that don't have pain sensations. They are capable of manifesting at will. That's why you find in your scriptures, your first writings are like that. Go forth, multiply, and have dominion over the universe. But the second creation is the carbon-based body. This one is a volunteer system, where the silicon body comes down and interrelates with the other elements, setting up a carbon-based body. So we take on the carbon-based body that blocks light as a charcoal, or permits light to pass like a diamond, which can cut the silicon nut. But it's not transparent to start with, like silicon. It's only transparent after it goes through the burning, which is the pain symptoms of going from the charcoal level to the diamond level, blocking light to allowing light to pass, so it's called the diamond body, or non-decaying resurrected body, or longevity lifestyle. To him that overcometh, the Lord said, for the second time, I will make him appear in the house of the Lord. That is, out of the three previous forms of manifested man, the fourth form, which is the carbon base, is a test to surrender these properties of, as you say, that the mountain move, it will move. You have to surrender those properties and work through this cellular form to go from charcoal to diamond. But you volunteered. And as you recapture your consciousness, that's what it means by free man or Lord of yourself. Relive the memory of the journey of the sperm to the ovum and lock in at the conception level. So death experiences and every type of phase down geometry and dreams and so forth are only prods to that particular moment. But you have to make the final breakthrough as yourself, to see for yourself. No one can see it for you. So each one is Lord of yourselves. Not self, there's no self. See, the cell doesn't die. It starves. That's why it's eternal. It's up to us to work with it.
When we hit that 15-minute Dell level, does that mean we're at the diamond level then?
The 15 minutes of the delta level allows you to function in what we call a convex vision instead of a concave vision. But from that moment on, you're the 1 foot in the charcoal level and 1 foot in the diamond level. You're phasing out the charcoal. It's just a matter of working through to what they call the next, which is an hour, would be the Paramahamsa, divine swan, above the charcoal level now, totally in the diamond level. And then you go up to avatar, which is the recalling of your descent into the flesh yourself. You chose to come down, you volunteer to come down. And that's what they call the master. And then you see, there's the ascended level and the manifested level of that particular process. You do the journey yourself, and then you realize you volunteer, so you activate on the compassionate level. But if it's never brought to your attention that you volunteer, you'll always feel you're a muck-up and not worthy and all different. But those were the old ways in which the teachers would make the student pay attention. It's no longer necessary. Not if you're going into the Aquarian age already. Galactic systems are opening up for us to look at ourselves more as to what we are.
Seen it altered in the flow state, the past state. We've seen it duplicated in both sides, put together. We've seen
find her. Clowns play. What's your next experiment?
No.
We would like to experience the extrasensory, because that's where you're going to have to learn to work it. But you see, why we can't push these things right, these are sort of a sneak preview. Remember one thing is, the body has to clean up itself. There's no way you can get around that. Even Mr. Luther Burbank could not prevent allowing the walnut tree to take root and grow for 70 years before you get the nut. The nut takes 34 years to come, but he only reduced the time that the tree would give a nut of 17 years, but you still have to sit down and look after the tree for 17 years. So we can't get around cleaning up our bodies. So we're trying to reduce the length of time. Meditation takes 18 years to shift from normal sensory condition to a delta level of consistent working of it and cleaning the body up. So we're trying to close the gap to a minimum of 10 years so that you can have the living experiences that these masters talk about and function in the daily activity, not just sit down and tranquilize yourself in a corner. That was always for agricultural men. It's not practical. Technical men. Technical men, his destiny is waiting for him out there in the sky. There's no way to turn the clock back. We're heading in that direction. And sooner or later, we're going to encounter our space brothers, which will force us to speed up our evolution in terms of looking at our mechanism as to what we are. Otherwise, we would not be able to function efficiently in space. It's not who we are that's going to take priority. It's what we are that will take priority. The more you know what is going on, the better you're equipped. So you'll be moving from your five senses to your intellect, and from intellect to the intuition. But between the intellect and the intuition, you have the extrasensory. It's a part of you that likes to play something for nothing. And you can't let that take precedence over your intuition. You have to be aware of it. You have to know how it operates. But you don't allow it to lead your life. Your life is directed by the intuition. That's where you say, free man, all order yourself. But you have to have some exposure to it. So the purpose of the tape was to get the endocrine glands to line up between the sperm and the ovum at the first process. When I came through the first time to get you equipped, then to get you to understand what bonding is, in the conception makeup of yourself. Then eventually you'll be able to handle that and work with it. And then you'll move into the understanding of your intuitive nature. And then it will give you the next one will be extrasensory, and then intuitive. The intuitive nature is that you'll hear the music and feel it feed the body. We can do a little bit tonight as a sort of a sneak preview. If you want to play the large tape on the slow. Yeah. What I want you to do in this portion of the music, you're just going to play a small piece of it. I don't want you to analyze the music. I want you to feel it moving the 144 elements in your skin that you're made up of, and going from storage to demand on time, all the time. And so it's not you thinking, it's you feeling. Your body is being fed, unknown to you, at the sonic level by the 144 elements in your mechanism. moving on time from storage to supply all the time. But we don't know that. We're trying to become conscious of it. The music is set to give that particular work go on in the ecological makeup. So if you sit down in the room, it'll work on the body. But you can't do it too fast if you're not clean up enough. So I'm just giving you a little preparation so that I'll take the body, I'll shunt with my energy that what your body can handle. So we'll just play the first little piece of it.
Yeah, I'm rewinding it now.
Yeah, so I'll let you listen and feel what it does to the skin.
Why does the slower speed have a tendency to wound the intuition?
That's the whole purpose of it. That you, the lower the volume is and the speed is, the closer you get into delta.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
See, we hear at a certain frequency.
Yeah.
And then when you go below that, you hardly hear it. But your cells are making sound. If you were to put a probe, a sonic probe, and let it pick up the actual oscillation sound that the skin is making, you'd be surprised. It'll sound like the whole tape going backwards, all crazy sounds it's making. But these are the parts of your anatomy that are constricting, dilating in resonance to the frequencies inside of the pressure. So normally in meditation, you're supposed to slow the brain down to the level where you hear it inside, and therefore it's referred to as audible life stream. But and the life is in the blood. These were all ways, but no one really would say to you, what I want you to really do is to sit down, close your eyes and listen to your skin breathe. If you told them that, it would be a different story. That I got closer to the truth. That what you're really listening to is your intrinsic respiratory rate causing the mechanism to constrict and dilate on time and feed it by the pressurization. So what they're trying to do with the music is to get the brain to make the shift from attaching itself to fixations to disengage and feel for the first time without the use of words sonic resonances that actually integrate the elements and move them. See, because you can always take a word to represent a function and put it to music and get the frequencies. Okay. Now, let me explain something again. Before you get to, you have to have a certain volume where the room is resonating. Until you get that volume, it's not going to affect the body. It's just going to be music. So it's a certain volume you have to bring it to, so where you can feel like the wall, because you have to affect the elements in the wall too. So then you are feeding your own body through the electro resonance of the sonics and moving the elements in your skin on time. So, skin and body will synchronize. Thank you.
A sneak preview what you're working towards. A state where you can get up and function and not be dragged down by the music, and it doesn't drain you. At the same time, your brain is clear and you're feeling stronger and stronger as you begin to work in the environment. And then when people throw their voices at you, you look at them and it doesn't bug you no more. You become a cosmic mirror. But that's exactly what they're talking about, Nibbikata Samadhi, the cosmic awareness in the mobile state where your brain is clear, you're functioning, and the resonances are bombarding, but they don't tear you down. They feed you instead. So man or manifestation doesn't exist or live by the indirect forms of the energy or the elements through the masticatory rate of the mouth, but by the direct input. And the direct input, you notice, is when you walk, you feel the resonance and you feel the skin tingling, and your head is clear, and you feel that. The music isn't dripping, you have to meditate to get to that state where songs don't seem to impress upon. But the yogis did not have the equipment to do it as we got today, because that's the whole essence behind it. The synthesizer was it what it was called, the golden violin in the oracles, and contributed to the Fountain of Youth, and Ponta de Leon went searching for Fountain of Youth and became a violinist himself, but he never did look young. even though you search for it, but what really is it? Once you start resonating and building it back, the timer takes over, which is supposed to shut down at when you're 10, 12 years of age. This particular phenomenon starts, the timer's acting again, similar like a resurrection plant. Have you ever seen a resurrection plant?
Mm-hmm.
It closes up, but doesn't really die. And yet when you wet it again and turn it, starts. That only sonics can do that to the thymus. There's no food can do that to the thymus. So when it turns down, and there's a young person, because their own sonic resonance, their own saliva is impeding and break and closing it down. So as you disengage from words per se to resonances, and as they interlock, their thymus starts to activate, then the aging process suspends itself. And this is what they call the conscious suspended animation. The cells look young again, they don't break down. But they'll filter and keep themselves clean on time for the first time. So this is basically what the mechanism is capable of accomplishing. But these physics were written in philosophical language, our cultural language. Today, as we're sorting it out for the first time, we've seen the results. It's there. And the more I see people around eating solar, looking at that young, there's, because that's basically eating on time to match the ecology, how it grows. Then finally, the fifth law of solid nutrition, you know that, is to live without eating. So the very food itself will phase out itself from the need of putting it in. As you build up the sonic resonances around your body. So they used to use chanting and singing and all these things, but you can't hold it long enough to really make the transition. It takes a great deal of withdrawal and abstinence to get it in. So it's a very long process. We're trying to reduce it by finding the actual sonic connectiveness. And now that we have the music that can interrelate to the endocrine gland for the first time, now we're setting it up in a series of progressive development. So you line up the sperm and ovum, which is the first one I gave you. And the second one would be the bonding. And then the third is the extrasensory function. And then the fourth one is how you're feeling the body directly. That's the intuitive level. There are lots more wonderful things waiting. But the first thing is to clean up. Once that is cleaned up, you'll see that the rest comes very easy. It's like a cup, you can't drink out of a dirty cup. So if you clean it up, it's easy to fill it up. But what would be a great joy is that more and more you'll be understanding what you are versus who you are. And you'll understand a lot more of the knowledge of physics, anatomy and physiology, where they really tie into your internal makeup as a longevity lifestyle than just a mere description of what you are, and don't see the connectedness of the process to bring about this working, functioning. So we're moving pretty fast into the Aquarian age. A lot of us are waking up to, from the who to the what. But the gurus in the East did their job, only they never spoke in technical terms. And we grew up in the West, and agricultural terms are still guilt-ridden. They do block the actual experience that can be gained and speed up the process. So that's our present stage where we're at, trying to explain these laws back to ourselves, minus the guilt, so we can live the process with much more understanding and compassion. Well, look at it this way. The evidence is your own vitality and immunity and practicality. If anything stands out, that will stand out. How vital and how flexible you are. And your friends will tell you you're looking younger, you don't seem to get older.
Son Alec does fire rhythm charts on his little computer here, and he does the year fire rhythm for 7 feet. Like that fire rhythm chart does.
It's good.
A little business now to put it down, push it. Be your own boss.
Yeah.
The children are speeded up faster than the adult because they're coming into it without a lot of the fixations of which the parent might be exposed to growing up. And so for that reason, their endocrine glands are going to be lining up quicker for them. And then if the parent is also involved with the understanding of what the tape or the music represent, the electromagnetic alignment comes out quick in the children. In other words, you're phasing out the previous misapplied decisions of your ancestors by the present participation in a correction of your own endocrine system, and you're laying the groundwork of a new archetypal patterning for your offspring, even though they're born already, and or they haven't been born, you're still having the electrical alignment for them. And when they're exposing to the music, that alignment is speeding up quicker so that they can make a transition and have these extrasensory and intuitive awareness at an earlier age than normally would be the human being. See, Jesus had it at 12. But then, you know, you go stand up in front of some rabbi and tell him that he don't like being told off by a 12-year-old kid. So he had to go hide himself in some corner for 18 years and come back and talk. So, what will happen as you find your children being exposed, they become more and more aware inwardly a lot of the things that they will be experiencing, and you see they're reacting quicker to their own intuitive nature. I have a lot of initiates who have children, and they're seeing it in the children already, that what the music is doing for them. One parent had a little boy who was really giving him a rough time in getting him straightened out in school. And then he began to play the music. In a short space of time, the kid began to straighten out. He got up early, cleaned up his room and everything without even realizing, and starting to get in shape. But before, it was nothing. You just
But if all the father did was put the tape on and leave it there, and he had like two tape recording machines, so you can play it, you know, so without the kid bothering it, and you'd have it playing in the room most of the time in the house, and the kid would be hearing it. And then he's waking up early, he's going to bed, doing his homework, and without even be told, he's just feeling the urge to do it. The first one, yes, not the second one, because it'd be wouldn't even handle it. And only the initiates are. We were trying to develop the initiates first. The first one is for therapy, and we'll do workshops with that to get the individual to accept their sperm, ovum, reaction in themselves, and line up their endocrine system. Then by that time the person may become interested in initiation to go to the next level. But what we played today and what we will be playing in the future is primarily for the initiates, because you come first before the rest.
For the piece that we have called "I Am a Prisoner of Love," the first tape, right?
Yeah.
Is there a second tape available?
Well, the second tape is called "The Modified." The whole thing is called "A Prisoner of Love," Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
But it's in different segments. And so the first part of it that deals with the correction of the sperm and ovum, that's the one that's available to everybody. Then the second one is for the initiates. Have we done a workshop here? Or?
No.
Okay. What we should do is a workshop one night or one day, where we do the sperm and ovum, and then do the intuitive backup modified. That will give you the three, the ones for the initiates. The public can take part in the healing of the sperm and the ovum in the body, but the advanced ones, they'd have to be initiates because they weren't able to hold it. See, the initiate is a driver already, he's not a passenger. But the first one is for the public and anyone at that level, so that they can start lighting up their body. But after they hear it, they're going to want to go further because they see the difference in it. We have a lot of people that take workshops there in Houston that heard the music the very first time, and they heard it. And then they began to ask questions. They got the tape for themselves. But then the questions always become, there must be more to this, because they're feeling it and they see a difference between them and the others that come there at the clinic. And the other says, well, they're initiates. So they said, well, what is that? They said, well, then talk to them. And so when they got initiated, they saw the difference. And then they were exposed to the second and third tapes, so they began to see definite changes in their body. But the first tape is for anybody. Even if you just play it in the room for a child or an adult, they will feel definite changes. And get a lot of examples. You can ask Ed, you want to give some examples of your experience with people who were not initiates hearing your tape?
Well, one particular interesting one was someone was listening to a tape in Port Arthur that Jimmy Gerard and I just had in the background, and she suddenly grabbed her throat and said, oh my God, I'm having some kind of a reaction to my throat that I haven't had in 6 or 7 years. And it was exactly at the part of the tape that has to do with the throat, the end of the system. And what she was doing was clearing. Anyway, led to a clearing of a lot of things. In fact, they got a very complimentary letter from her, 2-page, having to do with that and other things regarding her experiences after that, and what she's gone through since on that one thing. Mm-hmm. And there's several other cases. Some of the ones are so phenomenal that there's leaves no doubt that there's something going on besides the psychological nature of listening to something and being psyched into something.
Well, professionally, you work with people. You can put it in the background in your place. And a lot of people who are doing professional work, they have it as background music. And they have seen the changes themselves in their business and the people. He can tell you himself too.
Yeah, definitely. Since I, it was having a great effect on me at home, but I decided to bring it into work. And within 5 days, my entire life changed due to what happened. And it seemed to affect a lot of other people too. But I just know that sometimes by taking that tape and experimenting with putting it in another place, you might get some very phenomenal results. I'll definitely validate that.
Increase sales.
Well, that was just one of the sales in the place went up $100 a day, and every time the tape was not there, it would drop back right down again. And that was phenomenal enough. A lot of other things happened.
Well, I know a lot of people can vouch for that already who are not even involved. They're initiates, but they're, and others that have just started coming around the clinic took it home in their own business just to listen to themselves, and they noticed the business was already, the people were asking the questions.
But then you just keep playing it over and over and over. I felt when I did that, but I got real hyper by the end of the day. So I didn't know whether it was the music or my imagination.
Mm-hmm. Your body is trying to clean up.
And then when I play it, when I have clients, then they all want the tape. Me too. Yeah. But that tape I could buy then.
Yeah.
Second one available? Yeah,
first.
The second one available.
The first one.
Second one available.
Not yet. By September, the second one will be available.
Well, we have to play the second one with
the initiates.
Three or four different speakers in different
places. No, no, no.
No?
It's already set up from that. It's called a modified.
Oh, yeah.
An
older sister. She's been an alcoholic for I don't know how long. And I don't know what, if there's anything at all I could do. And of course, she's in New Jersey. I used to get this wild thought that maybe I could fly down there with a tape or something, but this is a very determined lady that I don't know whether I have any luck with that. You think,
Don't threaten them by saying the third tape does anything. Just send them, if you want to make a gift, you can send the tape as a gift, and then ask them.
I don't think she even has a tape recorder.
Oh, well done.
Like that. I have to go there and play it.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I don't like to be in that house because she smokes.
Yeah.
Every minute
she's smoking. Mail her a tape recorder.
Well, that's somehow, that I could do that, but it seems kind of,
that all of a sudden I mail her this present, a tape and a tape recorder.
Sounds very subtle, but it's
just...
Boy,
Miller's sledgehammer, too.
Let the music do the thing.
Well, I was in Seattle, and there were some people who had never heard the music for the first time. And they used to be smokers. And they came to a workshop, and the music was playing. We did the class one, and the music was playing, and they themselves noticed that the craving for smoking was getting less during the entire period that we were listening to the music. But then next day they came back and asked if they could get that tape because it felt good. And they didn't do more than just take the tape and play it, and they noticed that they were slowing down in their quantity of cigarettes that they were smoking. When I was ready to leave, they had already cut down to half the amount of cigarettes they were smoking.
just by listening, hearing the music in the room. So in a way, it's correcting the endocrine system. What we want to, we jokingly call the music a sonic colonic.
But Donald, can people get affected by just hearing it randomly? They don't have to sit and listen to it the way we do in that kind of concentrating fashion. If they're going in and out of a room,
yeah, they'll get an effect from it, as they, because the music will be in the air around them as they're walking out. So the only thing that we advise, don't play it in a car. Always play it in the house first. Then the person who plays it in the house, their endocrine system lines up, and then it's valid for them to go in a car and play it with it in a car. But don't play it in a car if it's the first time you're going to hear it. Your endocrine system will not line up properly, and you may track a lot of reactions around you. That's why we advise a person should play it first in their home, where this their body's relaxed, and let the sonics work on the endocrine glands, the sperm and the ovum side, and then your body wouldn't throw off. Your other people can walk in and out of the room, and they'll benefit till they want to know more of it, because it'll have a certain effect on their endocrine system. That's the whole intent. When you hear a certain phases of the music, it triggers, and it'll always stimulate the one gland that is out of focus faster to come back in alignment. You'll feel it, they'll yawn, or they'll feel back of the neck, they'll feel the tummy, or different parts of the where the endocrine gland is trying to line up. So that's how it works.
Do you have any number one tapes available tonight?
Hmm?
Do you have any tapes available tonight?
I think
no.
We have a few left.
That's all. We'll whatever we have, we'll, and then we can later mail the rest to you.
Okay. We've been getting calls from people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, whatever we have, we'll.
Where did the word prisoner come from? Because I looked it up in the dictionary.
That's my own word. When they were forming the name of the song, I said I want a prism of music. You know what a prism is?
Sure.
Many different aspects. And then there was a song, I'm a prisoner of love.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said I want a prisoner of love.
Play it in the room like all day or whatever. You play it loud or you play it soft?
Well, it varies.
How should you play it?
Just for a treatment, it should be normal music, normal volume. You don't want to go too high with it. You want the body to feel comfortable with it. The reason we played it loud was to show you what. But that's set to another frequency, and the tape has a slower speed. But initially, you play to the volume that the body can handle. And that's the start, the process of cleaning the body and lining it up.
And then as you accept, you increase the volume, is that it? Or you face it down, so it's which one? You raise it?
No, then you're going up higher. The speed is not appropriate for high. For because it, the number one is designed for treatment. It isn't designed to feed the body. So it's at a certain speed and a certain, and it's for the sperm and the ovum. They're not interwoven. So that's why you play it at a volume that the body can feel comfortable with. So if you want to play it lower, fine, but you don't want to go higher with it because it's not going to do the work. The one we just demonstrated is a specific thing.
Okay.
That was to give you an idea of what feeding the body will do. But that tape is set a certain way with the music synchronizing on the endocrine gland, so that it will react to feed the body. Both left brain and right brain are working the same time in the one tape. See, it's alternating. If you play the tape, number one is for therapy. It'll do the job of lining up the endocrine glands and getting your body back in balance. And that's basically what it will do.
I was thinking that, you know, after the treatment, I still had this sort of sad feeling. And I thought maybe that would...
That would help. If you got a feeling of sadness, you play it, it'll start pulling back and lining up. But you'll notice as you play it, it'll do its own work of lining up the endocrine glands themselves. That's what it's designed for, to pull them back in alignment so they function normal. Then you don't have the oscillation going off. Your body starts. You see, when I was in Flagstaff, a composer was there from the college, and he came, and he was 2 days in a row, he heard the music, and he was asking what was the difference between he being a composer, hearing music like this, and what is, why do we call it therapy music? Well, I allow him to explain what he thought music supposed to represent. And he said, well, he's trained to make music for the audience to raise their emotions as high as he can go with his own feelings with the music, and then as low as he can go. And that's how he writes and composes the music. I said, that's art, where you feel to express yourself, and you put it on paper. So you're raising up the feelings of the audience to a high peak that you think you can go in your mind, and then come down to a low peak. That is music as art. Music as therapy doesn't work that way, because you'll notice this music compensates itself in every angle. It's not a high nor a low, it's just the phases in. So it doesn't drop you off and leave you in a ditch or drop you high off. It's a phase in. It's designed to work with the endocrine system, so it's an entire different process. So the second time he heard it, then that was his comment. He said, you're right. It isn't doing what the art type music does. No, it's not designed. It's designed to bring the notes to line you up as a person, so that when it ends, you're centered and not high nor low. So that's the difference in therapy, when it's used as a therapy. And it's only working on the endocrine system. It's not there to entertain, as a music are set up to entertain a person. This is set as songs to correct certain imbalances. And it focuses on the endocrine system. It's unfair to call it music, because really it's not music, it's more of a sonic therapy, because we're dealing with specific organs in the system that resonate to the songs, and line themselves up. And then you have the intent of building it or and reinforcing them with more concentrated resonances. So it's a more of a therapeutic use of sound waves than just as music per se. Well, let me explain. Your endocrine glands resonate to certain instruments. The human being did not invent the instrument to play music by sheer imagination. He heard these sounds in deep moments of tranquilization, stress, or reverie in his own body, and then tried to duplicate it. The base of the spine, the sound at the delta levels, is the hum of a bee. And at the same time, it's the drone of a drum beat. When it constricts and dilates, it goes a bzzz, bzzz. And when you urinate, it's just like a bee. And when you go to the bathroom to have a bowel movement, and then it'll go off like a drum, boom, 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 boom. And if you take what is known as a sonar resonance meter and hook it up to the skin, it'll give you the frequency bumping off like that, constantly going off the skin. And if you were to raise the volume, you think, how can that be? That's my skin, but why is it making sound like a drum? Now imagine somebody hooked this onto you, to your buttocks, and the thing is only coming up. Bop, 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 bop. It blow your mind, you know? But that is exactly what it's doing. But we never know that, that this is the actual resonance of the cell making that constriction dilation to the rhythm. And so the yogis, who wrote down the songs of the chakras, they call them the songs of the chakra. And since we know today there are no chakras, they're actually endocrine glands and the resonance of the endocrine glands. And then they give the list. The first one is like a bee and a drum. That's right in the gonad area, in the rectal section. And we're in the sexual organs, the genital section. It has the sound of a flute. So you can imagine, and it sounds like a trumpet blowing. So that's how they begin to hear it in themselves. And they were able to identify which endocrine was setting up the sound. And when it went off, it would be discordant. And that's how they would try to treat it back by chanting. That was their technique of trying to line up. And then they'd use a daytime chant or a nighttime chant, depending upon the discordance. But that led to acupuncture years later. But the first attempt was through sonics. Then they went up to the navel. And there, the navel, they heard the harp. Pring, 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 pring. String instruments all along by the navel. And well, these were the actual endocrine nerve ends that were pulling, making these particular sounds, like a harp. Then it came up to the chest. It was like a bell, bong, bong. But that's your heart closing and shutting. The valves are made, but like a cathedral. So those are the actual sounds that comes off of it. It sounds like a bell in a church. Then it goes up to the throat, and it sounds like a thunderclap. Like thunder in the throat. And then you go up to the forehead,
It's like flashes of lightning. Then, finally, in the top of the skull, the songs come out like a bagpipe. And that's what's so weird about it, that there are only two people in the world, ethnic groups, that play the bagpipe. The Scotchman and the Punjabi, and they all live in the highlands. So he said, if you hear the bagpipe in the highlands, you're making it home. But in the pineal gland, this sound like a bagpipe. Now, those very same songs gave birth to instruments to play music, not in terms of therapy, but it gave birth to the different instruments that would come along to make music to entertain the body, without even realizing that the whole spine, with those seven centers, is a elongated biological flute. If you take a flute, the flute has six holes above right and one hole at the back. You see, and then the mouthpiece. And that's exactly how you're set up. You have six glands, you have a seventh one at the top, and the eighth one that acts as like a medulla oblongata. And if you close that one and blow, nothing comes up. You ever do that to a flute? Close the back hole and then try and blow and nothing comes out. You play the instrument, that's what happened. There's no sound. So if you lock this one here, the same thing happened in the body. And so the whole spine is set up like that, like a musical instrument. And therefore when you breathe through your nose, that's why you have to relive the sperm ovum bonding, because there you go back, you can actually relive that experience of nose going back, and you hear the songs of your whole body. It's like what we've just played going on all over the place, all different kinds of sounds beating with these instruments. But that's your whole body resonating like that. We never knew it before, but more and more this electron sonar scope meter device that they just developed in England, where they can even put it in the skin and pick up songs. That is one of the things that they're recognizing.
Well, we keep talking about the heart chakra. Actually, it's the thymus.
Mm-hmm. The what?
If the medulla is between the head and the spine, at the time of bonding of sperm and ovum, what part does the medulla play? Where does it come?
That's the actual entrance of where the sperm and ovum bonded. That's the mouth of the sperm and the mouth of the ovum where they bonded. That's the hypothalamus and medulla oblongata. That's why if you stick it to the pin, you'll be killed and you die instantly. And if you tickle it to the fellow, you're paralyzed for life. You can operate any other way wrong except there. But that's where they actually bonded the lock to form the body. So that's what in the ancient days they call soul mating, but I call it soil mating. Because you can't find a soul, but we can sure find the 144 elements that make up living soil. And when they bond, that's the magnetic alignment between the two forms of the sperm and ovum. And if you ever saw the ovum and how the sperms work their way, out of all of them that gather, there's only one either bond or then they're twins, two or three. But one bonding is the locking in. But then when it locks in, the whole tissue structure goes off like a firecracker. So we have very limited ways to see these phenomena, except if you can slow down the brain to the convex vision, it sees the whole thing occurring as an explosion, like a 4th of July. That's what's happening inside of it. But then when you take those explosions and bring it to the range of sonics and you raise the volume, it'll sound like what you heard just now, the whole place bombarded by sound. But it's up the pitch and the resonance is so low, it doesn't bother you at a conscious level. Except when you may bump your head and then you complain about what? A buzzing in your ears? Well, you run to the doctor and he said, well, you got some kind of crazy disease. But that's actually what is happening in those tissues. They're giving off resonances that the brain is picking up. But the brain is trying to insulate you from that overflow by keeping it a lower pitch. And that's what the respiration will also keep it at a lower pitch, so you don't get overloaded by it. But then when you get into the meditative state, which is a deacceleration of the brain, you're going to have to face it sooner or later at that pitch. And that's what is referred to when they go to the gurus in the East and say, Master, we're looking for a God. And he says, well, it's the audible life stream. And so what is audible life stream? So he says, sit down and listen to it. And if you don't know what it is, you sit down there for a while, and then after 2-3 hours, I said, Master, I don't hear nothing. He says, okay, now close your eyes and listen. And that's like this. Ah! Oh boy! You heard it? Good. That's what it is. Audible live stream. He says, now enjoy it. But you ever did that to your ears? And hear this thing resonate? It will resonate, and then you can hear it from then on and go in to listen to it. That's the evidence that your ears will resonate like a bell. It resonates like a drum. All the different songs resonate there. But it's called audible life stream because this respiration of the oxygen is going in to cause it to dilate, constrict, and make it like a drum. So the resonance tapping action. You ever see how they take a skin and make a drum over a hollow little box and then they tap it? And that's the same thing with the tissue in a dilate state. There's no difference, but we never talk that way because no one thinks of talking that way until we start looking at what it is. And then you begin to realize that the God you're talking about is far more intrinsic in your structure than you realize. And he's not a person sitting on a throne, but it's a cosmic principle that has become integrated with its own manifestation. And it endows the individual manifestation a sense of awareness by respiration through the oxygen. And that is what oxygen is doing to the tissues, making it conscious like a camera. Then it stores data and it has to be played back. So what we call intellect is programmed data. It's like a computer, you buy it brand new and you plug it into the wall. It's not going to play back any information until you program it. But it can only play back what you program. If you punch A and you want B, you can't go punch A because it won't give you A or B. You're going to get A. So you punch A to get A, you punch B to get B. So that's exactly how the brain is set. That's why they call it intellect. You're punching in this information and input equal output. So if you have a loved one, you want to send them to school to become some professional person, you know they got to spend a heck of a long time storing the data into their brain before they can play it back.
Why is
what he's doing, he's shifting the brain from one speed to another speed, which you couldn't normally do by respiration, because you haven't spent enough time to deaccelerate your own brain by respiration. But he has mastered it, so he moves in the feel of it. So now, if I was to say to you that the oxygen in this whole room is